Please turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. And we're going to read verses 18 through 23 for our text. The book of Exodus is a book about redemption. And so it also is a book about the glory of God, because that is where God is most glorified, the cross of Calvary. Verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. I wanted to talk to you this morning about seeing God as we continue a series entitled Seeing God. And we have looked at scriptures that talk about God's heart, His hand. This morning I want to talk about His hind parts. And I don't mean that to be derogatory about God. It's what His Word says, His back parts. The truth is, we ought to be more than grateful for any part of God that we can get a glimpse of. Our God is a holy God, and I pray that the Lord will bless us to see Him, to see His glory. What a prayer Moses prayed here. Have you ever prayed to see God's glory? I wonder sometime if we're almost afraid to see His glory and what that entails in our lives. I want to think about the context of leading up to this. As you know, this is Moses. Moses was one of the people in the Bible that has come the closest to seeing God face to face as anybody I know of. God talked to him as with a friend. He had just been to the mount with God for 40 days and 40 nights. He got the law of God there, and he comes down, and God's people who he had redeemed, who God had redeemed out of the bondage of the Egyptians, had already made them an idol. You see, we have this tendency, we want to see something. And when God is sort of playing hide and seek with us, we're easy to give up. We need to be reminded that seeing God's glory is not so much getting to our successes or dreams as it is the process of life whereby we give God all the credit for everything. And when you think about the hind part, the people of Israel complained, and God notices it. And you remember, He tells Moses, He says, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to destroy all these people. And I'm going to make a new nation, Moses, and you can lead them. You know, one of the greatest places to see God's glory is His mercy. I'm going to tell you, the more we can see our badness, the more we're going to see God's glory. The reason we don't really see the glory of God as we ought to is we don't see how bad we really are. Moses intervenes, and he prays to God, and God relented, and he says, okay, I'll spare the people, but I won't go with you into the promised land. I'll send an angel. And, you know, most of us probably said, well, that's right, God, if you'll do that, that'll be fine. But not Moses. Moses said, no, we don't want to go anywhere, God, without you. So what we need to see is that this is a prayer, really, but I want us to see here that Moses is after something. He's going to the highest level. I mean, God says, he said, I'm not going without you. What we need to understand is the little baby that cries because they're hungry really need their mother more than they need the food. The prodigal needs his father more than he needed the robe and the party. And that's how we are. What we need, friends, is God. And you won't get God without his glory. Because that's who God is. And so Moses now prays when God says, he says, I'm going to pardon you. I'm going to give you my presence. And Moses says something else. He says, I want to see your glory. I mean, what a request. God, I want to see your glory. You know, I have tried to pray that this week. I've got to be honest with you. I haven't been praying for God's glory. I mean, too many times we pray, God, I need this, that, and the other. But have you ever prayed, I want to see your glory, God? And what glory is influence. It's understanding that our life, every part of it, is about God's glory. About seeing God's glory. I mean, we know that our number one reason for being alive and being saved by his grace is to glorify him. How in the world would God save us when not calling us to see his glory? And you know, to see it is you to believe it. Seeing is not believing when it comes to spiritual things. Believing is seeing. Jesus Christ tells Mary and Martha, when Lazarus was about to be resurrected, didn't I not tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So really my question is, my friends, do you believe God? Then you will see his glory. To the very extent that you don't believe God, you're not going to see his glory. Job, you remember Job said, where are you, God? I don't know where you are. He was going through some horrific times in his life. Sometimes God puts us in places and takes some things away just so we'll see his glory. And so when Job come to the point of God showing him his sovereignty, by the way, all of creation is seeing God's glory. When you look at the stars and the moon and the sunset and the birds and the trees and the flowers and these little babies, I mean, you look in the mirror, you're seeing the miracle of God. You're seeing miracles. And when God showed Job in Job 42, that Job, he says, where were you when I created all this world and told the oceans where to stop and the mountains where to start? And Job repented because of that. Sheer repented because of God's sovereignty. And he says he repented. And he says, I have heard of thee. Job said this by the hearing of my ear, but now I see thee with my eyes. He wasn't talking about a physical vision. He was talking about a spiritual enlightenment. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in your walk of grace, because I'm going to tell you, most of us know God. All of us do, by his grace. And he has to prompt that. But I'm going to tell you this. For most of us to be real sensitive of God in our lives every day, it's really a wow experience, if you will. It's an adventure to discover the glory of God. I'm going to tell you, friends, it will make the difference between living for the weekend and enjoying what you're doing every day. That's what glory, seeing the glory of God in everything, in every mode you do, is about. So Moses said, I want to see your glory. So what did God say? He says, I'll make my goodness pass before you. First of all, I want to try to say three things. One is about this, God's hind parts. That is really his afterglow. If you think about it, if you think about royalty, if you talk about a train that's on the back of a king or a queen and what follows them, that's God. See, this shows the difference in the infinite God and finite human beings. We couldn't take it. You be real thankful for what God doesn't tell you. You be real thankful that God hadn't revealed everything because we wouldn't want it. We couldn't take it all. I mean, Peter, when Jesus caught the fish when they weren't catching any, and Jesus is standing there on the boat cooking fish for supper, and Peter sees him, he jumps off the boat into the water, and he says, God, have mercy upon me, I'm a sinful man. Why did he say that? Because he was encountered with the glory of God. I want to say something about miracles. See, it's a sheer miracle. God says, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. The miracles all around us, we live in miracles. You don't have to go to church to see a miracle. You don't have to go on a vacation. I mean, you live in a miracle every day. What is a miracle? A miracle is where man's strength ends and God's begins. Do you know the fact that your heart is beating, that you can breathe God's air? Do you know that you're sitting in these pews simply and only because God wills it to be? Do you know that you have absolutely nothing to do with your natural birth? You had nothing to do with it. Life is a gift from God. It's a miracle. Next time you see a butterfly, always remember what that butterfly was before it became a butterfly. A caterpillar. Only God can do that. You see, the reason we don't see God's glory with the excitement and passion that we ought to is most of us have made so many mistakes in life and failed so much, we just don't think God can do nothing about it, or we kind of imply that, and we don't think we can be used by God. But that's what God uses. See, God uses failures. That's all he's got to work with. You do see that Jesus came to save sinners. I hope you understand that you are a sinner. I know that I am. If I don't know that, I want not to be preaching. Because Jesus Christ is a Savior, and that's a miracle itself, that God sent his only begotten Son from heaven to live 30 some odd years on this earth in a human body among a people that hated him, among a time that was more tumultuous than what we're living in today, and he goes to the cross, and he dies. And he dies for us, not for his sins, but for ours. And your sins are forgiven, and that's a miracle. And you know why we need to look for God's glory in his hind parts? Because that's where our sins are. Isaiah 58 says, God has cast all our sins behind his back. He put them all away. But see, what the devil likes to do is remind us of what we've done wrong or who's done us wrong. And you won't see God's glory that way. See, if you're going to look at your back parts, you can't see God's. What we need to understand is we're depressed toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Because his glory is in the face of Christ, the only begotten of God. See, miracles. I mean, we live miracles. And I'm not just up here just saying that. I mean, gosh, miracles. That's what I can't do. And that's everything. Unless God enables us. It's a miracle of His grace. I think what happens is we become lonely and bored. And we look for other ventures and things in life to satisfy us. Because we don't see life as a miracle. Every day. I remember asking, I don't know if Jennifer, is Jennifer here? I don't. She could be here though, couldn't she? I mean, she's close. I remember Jennifer, you know, when she was a little girl. I don't think Sarah was born, but Jennifer and Ashley. Well, we go up to the mountains, and I mean to Atlanta, and we deal it one vacation, one summer, we go to Six Flags and all those places, the zoo, and all that, whatever's up there, Stone Mountain, aquarium. So I'm coming back on the I-16 and trying to make conversation to kind of tone down the arguments. And I remember asking the girls, I said, well, tell me, what is the thing you had the most fun doing on our trip? I'm pretty sure it was Jennifer that said, jumping on the motel bed. I never forgot that. You know, when you see life as a miracle, I think what happens, we get inattentive blindness. In other words, the sunset doesn't mean anything to us much anymore. We take it for granted. Those little babies, I don't know if it did something to you, but me, and I know some of them is in my family immediately, but I'm going to tell you what, that is a miracle. Don't ever take a child for granted. Don't ever take anything in your life for granted. It is a miracle. Every time you eat food, it is a miracle from God. Rain. You want to know what God is? Is going to be? You look at rain. You can't make it rain. Men have tried, but they have not made it rain. Can't make, keep it from rain. I want you to see the miracles in your life every day. It will cause your life to be so adventuresome and exciting. You'll never get bored. You'll never be lonely because God is with you. And so when you get in your darkest days, you look for His glory. This man Moses saw it earlier, you know, in Exodus chapter 3, the burning bush. You can see that today. You look at these trees. You see this foliage turn on these hardwood trees. I mean, it makes these oaks and maples look like they're on fire. Why? God is doing that. Why did God say, Moses, take off your shoes? You're in holy ground when the bush was burning. Do you think it's because the sand got hot or cold? No, He wanted Moses to do that so he'd be still and know that He's God. Sometimes we go so fast in life, we miss the turns. And most of the time, God has called us to go the scenic route, and it will be on the back roads. I'll tell you what, when you look at Scripture and you try to travel with God's people, it will be the long way around. See, it's not just getting you to a certain place, it's the process that glorifies God and see His goodness in it in a way. Secondly, I want to talk about mercy. Now, God uses that word mercy here, doesn't He? I will show mercy. You see God's mercy? You believe God's mercy? Then you've seen His glory. You know what mercy is? Mercy's not getting something we deserved. Grace might be getting what we don't deserve, but mercy is not getting what we do deserve. And these people, Israel, didn't deserve it. See, what mercy does, mercy is in the hind parts of God because it always follows grace. Because we have failed grace. See, these people had failed in God's grace. They had denied it. And I don't know about you, but I have too. Just because you've been saved by grace doesn't mean you stay saved. I'm not talking about eternally. I'm talking about in your joy and fellowship with God. You know why we don't? We forget it's a miracle. We think God owes it to us. David said in Psalm 23:6, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I don't know about you. I don't want to get too personal. I'd be afraid to. You don't want me to preach anymore. But I have literally been pulled out of the bed of sin by God. And I cried all the way home. But I look back in that, and that was the mercy of God. It kind of reminds me a lot. The first mention of mercy in the Bible is Genesis 19, and where Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's in heaven today. But that man sinned big time. And what he did, he settled among the people and he was in a place that were doing horrific things. Sodomy. Lesbians. Homosexuals. And God sent angels to get him, and he didn't want to come. The Bible says there he lingered. Then the angels grabbed him. Don't you think when you look at God's goodness, if you're going to see his glory, it won't be because of some decision you made. It'll be because you look back and you'll see God did that. Man, where would I be if God didn't do this for me? It's not that you got so religious. I tell you, I think people hide behind religion because they don't really want to see God's glory. What I'm talking about is God. I'm not talking about his gifts. I'm not talking about all these things he can do to us and how he blesses us and he does all that, but I'm talking about just God. That's what Moses was saying. God, I want to see the influence and the credit that you are in everything I do. And sometimes we can see heaven more clearly through the prism of tears. I want to tell you that. But sometimes we just have not noticed what God has done for you. Take a deep breath. It's supposed to relax you. You didn't do it. I know. It's okay. You don't have to be a parrot that the preacher has to do something. What you do when you get home sometime, it will relax you. You know what that's like to me? That's embracing the sovereignty of God. It is saying, God, you're in control. It is saying, Lord, not only are you in control, but you're good, because if you don't have the believing and seeing that God is good. David said again, he said, I believe to see the goodness of the God in the land of the living. Now you just got to believe it. I didn't say feel it. I didn't say understand it. But understand that it's God and he's good, and he's good all the time. Can you say this? God is good. And you say all the time. Can you say that? God is good all the time. Thank you. He's good all the time. And when you take the sovereignty of God and his goodness, that's where you'll see his glory. And you see it by faith. You believe in it. You see, glory has given God the credit for everything. That's why salvation by grace, the doctrines of predestined elect, are so precious, because God gets all the glory for that. Not the preacher. Not the person, but God. And he says he does it to who he will. I don't know who it, I don't know them all. You don't either. But God does it. And he does it right. So, and he tells us, I'm going to show you my mercy. Has God showed you his mercy? When God shows you his mercy, you'll get a glimpse of his glory. But it's going to be after he passes by. You're going to realize at some point in your life that there were only one set of footprints taking you, toting you, literally through life. That's God. You frankly had nothing to do with it, just by the mercy of God. But see, God is a glorious, merciful God. It's renewed every day. I'll tell you what, it transformed your life. I remember one time, I shared this story a while back, some of y'all I remember, but when I was in my forestry work, I sold a tract of timber I was taking bids on, and I took bids, and this one bidder was twice as high as anybody else. I felt really good. And he came over to my office the next morning and he stood there at my door. I can still see him with his hands out. He said, and I want to tell you, Randy, I'm here today because I need mercy. And that word caught my attention. He says, I made a mistake when I figured your timber. And I need your mercy. And you know what? There's a fleshly part of me kind of said, well, buddy, that's too late now. You already got it in writing. But God had been merciful to me. See, that's how God works his mercy. So I let him off the hook. Have you got somebody in your life that you can't forgive? Then you haven't seen God's glory. You haven't seen his mercy. Because when God is merciful to you, it does something to you. And then lastly and briefly, it matters where you are to see God's glory. And we're going to see it as hind part. Notice he says, God says, I'm going to put you in the rock beside me. You're going to be standing on rock. You know what he's talking about? Christ. God has to put us in Christ. He is the rock. And that's the most safest and secure place for us to be. You know, when you get there, when God puts us in Christ, it doesn't matter about circumstances. Too many times I think our circumstances of life get such that we don't see the glory of God. And we just flounder around in life and we complain and we bicker and we're never really satisfied about anything. When really God is most glorified, when in him we are most satisfied. Do you hear me? Are you satisfied in God or not? Over at Israel a few years ago, we went on a trip in 2017, and we went to a place called the Garden of the Sepulchre, where Christ, they got his tomb. And we were standing there in the courtyard, and the guide said, come over here with me, and I want you to look at that mountain. And it's called Golgotha Hill. And you can see it from the Garden of the Sepulchre. And he said, do you see what looks like a skull there? It's called the Hill of the Skull. And I said, I don't believe I know. I don't see that really. He said, walk over here and look at it from this angle. And then I saw it. Do you know what? Where you are geographically has a lot to do with where you are spiritually. It does. The angle of your life, how you look at life, has a lot to do where you are in life. And you know where you are in life, where that comes from? The providence of God. Do you think you're just where you are just by accident? That you just ended up there? No, no. God orders our steps. You might make a decision. You might get this job or that job or lose this one or that one or have this problem or that problem. And I'm going to tell you what, God is just putting you in the right position to see His glory. To see what He's done for you. You will get to a point, and I will get to a point where we will sing that blessed hymn, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and see what God has done. Do not neglect to see what God has done. You talking about Thanksgiving? Man. That's God. But God puts us, it's the angle that we look at. Mercy, God. Yeah, understand that. Understand that He's a God of miracles. Don't take anything for granted. That loved one beside you, friend, every breath you take is from God. We have a miracle working God. And I'm going to tell you, God is doing something all the time. He never sleeps or slumbers. And what He's doing is placing us. Now sometimes it's hard to understand where we are. The Apostle Paul didn't have the island of Malta and a shipwreck and a snake bite on his plans. But God did. You might not have that heart surgery or that divorce or that sick child. You might not have any of that on your plans. Most likely didn't. But God knew about it all. Now here's the thing. Are we going to see God's glory in it? Now if that happens, people will know it. You know how they'll know it? Because you will have an afterglow. Moses went down and he couldn't even be looked upon for days because he shined so brightly. Just being in the hind parts of God's glory. You spend time with God. I'm going to tell you what, my friend. People will know it. Your children will know it. Your co-workers will know it. And most importantly, God will know it. Draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. But remember this, sometimes it's time for us to quit praying about something and start doing it. I mean, there are things we don't need to pray about any longer because God's glory is at stake. Give Him the credit for everything. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank You for this beautiful day. We thank You, Lord, for holding us in Your wonderful, sovereign, merciful, righteous hand and keeping us, Lord, looking for Your glory. Lord, remember us, how many times we failed You. Yet, Lord, You've never forsaken us. Lord, locate us exactly at the right spot so we can see the cross most clearly. Keep us under the shadow of it. Tether our lives to it. Lord, we'll never get so far gone that Your grace can't keep us back. But we'll never get so good that we'll never need Your grace. We thank You, Lord, for the balance of our life that we have in Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.